Namaste everybody, welcome to the 8th episode of Clarity in Similarity. Today we have with us Dr. S.K. Vasisht, BSc DHMS, who is a student of Dr. Jayasurya Homeopathic Medical College, Hyderabad, and he's also a graduate of botany from Osmini University. He is the proprietor of Vasisht Homeopathic Pharmaceuticals, Hyderabad, which is GMP certified and was established in the year 1984, manufacturing only single remedies, which is almost very rare to hear these days. And it was also the first to introduce biochemic external gel and 1x mother tincture tablets. So some of the papers published by Dr. S.K. Vasisht include Homeopaths Stop, Look and Proceed, Tools Available to a Homeopath, Role of Biochemic Tissue Salts in Mother and Child Healthcare, Ideal Homeopathic Hospital. We are very fortunate to have him with us today to speak on a very interesting topic, which we came up with, and not a lot of platforms usually on social media speak about the pharmacy aspect of homeopathy. So today we are going to speak about pharmacy and its ongoing mechanics. Welcome, Dr. Vasisht, and we thank you, and we are humbled that you agreed to do this with us. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Sir, since we know your background in the pharmacy part of homeopathy, the opening query that we have for you is, what is the actual role of pharmacy in the practice of homeopathy?
It's a very important role which a pharmacy can and should play for the medical practitioners.
Right.
And to assist them to get quality medicines. See, a doctor with his knowledge can select a remedy.
Right.
But the remedy to work, it's only with the pharmacy.
Right.
So, especially homeopathic pharmacy has a very major role to play.
Right.
And as it is, we say that homeopathic medicine is the best system of medicine.
Yes.
The future of that medicine lies in the hands of the homeopathic physician.
Yes.
And the future of homeopathic physician lies in the hands of the homeopathic pharmaceuticals. So it's a very big role a pharmacy has to play in the practice of homeopathy.
Right. This brings us to our next question, sir. How important is the subjective knowledge of pharmacy and its application in practice? Is it only restricted to the pharmacist, or how important is it for the practitioner to know the preparation of drugs and where they're collected from or their sources? How important is it for him to know?
It's very important to know. Say, in fact, Dr. Honeyman is in his Organon, second aphorism, he says that the cure should be gentle.
Right, right.
So how it can become, how you can make it gentle? It is again from the pharmacy. Second, in the aphorism number 3, Honeyman clearly says that a physician should have a knowledge of disease and knowledge of medicine.
Right, right.
So the knowledge of medicine is very important for homeopathic physician to have. And with my experience, I can say, though it was there in the organ, though we are taught, but as on today, our homeopaths, they have very less knowledge of the medicines, what homeopathic manufacturers are making.
Right.
Even there are people who are not aware how the globules are made. What is this globules?
Yes.
Say, for example, globules, initially when everyone was seeing it, many people used to feel, what is this, like Sabudana Golis, tablet, pills.
Right.
But you'll be surprised that these globules are the basic material which the allopaths use to make retard action remedies. Right. I myself was surprised when I found that India is a major exporter of these globules. What they call is that it has pellets. So the importance of that particular globules is not as well. It is not only sugar pills.
Right.
It has a special preparation by which the porosity is maintained and the medicine gets absorbed in this.
Right. Yes.
So
yes.
It's really this knowledge of pharmacy is very important And people also, they should have that idea.
Hmm.
And second, homeopathic is not represented only by globules.
Right.
We have even tablets like what allopaths have. We have mother tinctures.
Yes. Hmm.
We have no sorts. Hmm. We have these dilutions like in 10 decimal scale, decimal scale, 50 millimol scale.
Right.
We have back flavor remedies. We have bubble no sorts.
Yes.
And in fact, I may not be wrong if I say that the number of, say, the items we have or the tools what a homeopath has, I suppose none of the other system has it.
Right. We are unique in that way that we not only in the
we
preparation.
Have, yeah, we have a lot of things and we are not aware of it also.
Right.
See, if I say bowel no sorts, you know, probably there will be at least 20% of the people who might have not heard about it.
Yes. So it is extremely important for the practitioners to know the different aspects of preparing a medicine and also their sources.
Right. They also should know what are the things available with them.
Available to them, yes.
See, even globules, they are available in, say, globule number 5 size to 60 number.
Right.
We have blank tablets. We are the only people, or all, the homeopathic is the only system which has placebo.
Yes. Hmm.
See, nobody, suppose our allopathic doctor, if he does not want to prescribe a medicine, he does not have anything other than multivitamin or B-complex.
Yes.
At least homeopaths, they have pure placebos at least.
Right. True. Furthering this question, sir, what is the role of the pharmacist in the propagation of different forms of homeopathy, or is there a role at all? Is the pharmacist completely neutral to this bias of practitioners?
See, there's different forms of homeopathic, probably, in fact, what I feel is, yes, at present the pharmaceutical companies are playing some roles.
Right.
And even, in fact, it is a major role. There are people who are making these patents, drops, and they themselves come out, number so-and-so is good for diabetes, this is good for that.
Yes.
See, these are, I can put it, it can be useful depending on to the practitioner.
Right.
It could be misused by the people who don't have, who have less knowledge.
Right.
There are doctors who can be misguided by this, especially the youngsters, young physicians who are coming out by feeling that it is very easy to practice.
Yes.
But as such, pharmacist's only role is to prepare genuine medicine. And in homeopathy, it is always a single remedy.
Right. So the role of the pharmacist in the propagation is actually nil in that sense. He must not interfere. Right. Sir, since you have been a practitioner and also a manufacturer, the next question that leads to is patents, is actually about patents. Are they a shortcut to cure or are they a problematic solution?
See, it is both.
Right.
As on today, I can put it, it can be a question for or a topic for research itself.
Right.
There is nothing wrong in formulation.
Right. Yes.
See, formulations, we have so many medicines. There's all possibilities that you want to try and mix up something.
Yes.
Say for diabetes, you have 10 drugs. You want to have some combinations. Say, for example, biochemic tissue salts.
Right.
You have 12 tissue salts. Yes. And there are some 28 combinations.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing what I feel is that we should have that tested, they should be formulated, and then it will be into the market. And in homeopathic, I can very clearly say that as on today, there is no proprietary pharmacopoeia. There is no standardization in that.
Right.
Even if you take alfalfa tonic, if there are eight pharmacists' formulation will be different.
Different, right.
So it's a need. But as it is, what I suggest is, if suppose a group of doctors, suppose they try this combination among themselves, then come out.
Right.
See, I have tried this. This is a thing. This is the result I am getting. There's nothing wrong in doing that. But as for the cure is concerned, I still, as it is because I'm a practitioner, I feel that single remedies when the single remedies are working, why you need a combination?
Right, right. Sir, it also pops up another question, or rather a doubt, as in, is it possible for the pharmacist to survive with classical homeopathy as his outsource? Because if he sells one dilution for one practitioner, say a dilution of Naxomica 200 centesimal potency, that practitioner might use that potency for almost years together, depending on his patient base. So is it possible for the pharmacist to survive with such an outlook regarding classical homeopathy?
See, you have very genuine reasons that yes, a classical manufacturer can survive.
Right.
We have HAPCO in Calcutta, which is more than 60 years old, probably one of the oldest companies.
Right.
And added to that, even today, I am there, Vashish Pharmaceuticals, we are 35 years now.
Yes, yes.
And we are not only existing, but we are expanding.
Right, right. Wonderful. Sir, this is yet another common doubt that some of the patients also have, and people who are probably not acquainted with homeopathy also have. And I think a pharmacist or a manufacturer would be the best person to answer this question. What are the sources, the actual sources of homeopathic medicines? Like, where do they come from and how are they collected? If you could enlighten us a little about this.
See, again, this is one information which probably most of the doctors and even the people, they are not aware. They just feel homeopathic medicines are nothing but small globule pills.
Yes.
And there are less people who know about dilutions. There are very less, even our qualified doctors, they know less about mother tinctures.
Right.
There are some leading homeopaths who says mother tinctures are not homeopathy.
True. Yes.
So, as it is, to make dilutions, you need mother tinctures.
Right.
So from the mother tinctures, you make the dilution. In homeopathy, there are more than 5,000 different drugs. More than 5,000.
Right.
It's from the animal kingdom, from the mineral kingdom. And if I can just put it very a little more clear to you.
Right.
Say it is from common cockroach. From cockroach, we make a medicine known Blatta orientalis.
Yes.
To the most poisonous cobra snake.
Right.
We use even that.
Right.
We use a common table salt. Natramur to the poisonous arsenic, which now during this pandemic, arsenic album was mostly used. Arsenic is one of the deadliest poison.
Right.
We use the saliva of a rabid dog to the pulse of the tuberculosis patient.
Right, right.
We use metals like aluminium, gold and silver.
Right.
We use drugs that is like ganja, opium to cannabis sativa. That also is the source of medicine. We use common onion.
Right.
And we make Allium sativa. Allium sativa.
Right.
And Allium sativa is lathan.
Yes. Garlic.
We use tobacco.
Right.
We use eggshell. From eggshell we make ovatester.
Right.
From charcoal we make carbovich.
Yes.
We have deadliest acids like nitric acid.
Right.
Acid nitric is a drug what we make from that.
Right.
And even mercury we use. You name it. We use penicillin. We have insulin.
Right.
We use iron also and uranium also. Uranium nitricum.
Right. Right.
And we use, the ordinary grass, like what we call as medico sativa, alfalfa. It is what mostly used for horses and animals.
Right.
That is alfalfa.
Yes.
To the deadliest poison, aconite.
Right, right.
So we use skimmed milk to dog's milk.
Yes.
We use tulsi. We use neem. So the sources are almost everything we have. Even suppose if you see the latest book, we are using electricity. We are using X-ray.
Right, right.
And even now latest I have heard somewhere mobile.
Right.
So, but the sources are a lot and they are collected, and it is not that it is simply collected. See, we have pharmacopoeias.
Yes.
The first pharmacopoeia which came into existence was in the year 1825 in Germany by Dr. Kasfort.
Right.
Then in British, there is a British homeopathic pharmacopoeia published in London in the year 1870. Then American pharmacopoeia came into existence in 1897.
Right.
Then homeopathic pharmacopoeia of United States has come up in 1901, and then another issue came in 1964.
Right.
Then 1941 also there was pharmacopoeia by Wilmer Scobey. And in India, in 1971, homeopathic pharmacopoeia of India.
Right.
It came into existence as on today we have 10 volumes. So this is mother, we have proper procedures are laid down in that pharmacopoeia, how the things have to be prepared,
right,
and all that are clearly mentioned. It's a documented subject as it is.
Right. So since the sources of homeopathic drugs are literally quite expansive,
Very expensive, and you have a lot you can do a research on it.
Right. So there are set rules as to the collection and the preparation of these medicines. It's not arbitrary.
Yeah. Even the size of the particle is always mentioned.
It is mentioned, right.
Yeah.
Sir, is
and
there
the part
any...
what is to be used,
right,
and when that part should be collected, in which year,
yes,
during which season it should be collected.
Right. Sir, is
even
the pharmacopoeia accessible to everyone? Or is there a specific place where it is accessible?
It's a textbook like. It is available, but as on today, because it's only the pharmacies who buy it,
right,
you will not get it easily in the stores. But I suppose in Jain Homeo, for Jain Publishing Company,
right,
they'll be able to supply,
right,
from Delhi.
Right, right. So since we have established that the sources are quite expansive, that brings us to another famous question that both the practitioners and the people have, I suppose. How do we assess the genuinity of homeopathic medicines that are prepared? Because since we are not only dealing with the mother tinctures and also the expotencies, but when it goes beyond that, when it goes beyond the Avogadro number, how does the physician confirm that the medicine that he's being given is genuine or not?
First is, it's a relation, and the very first question what you put it, the role of homeopathic pharmacy.
Right.
So that plays a major part. See, every physician should have a faith in particular pharmacy.
Yes.
So it is more onto the faith. But as far as the tests are concerned, say we do have a homeopathic pharmacopoeia laboratory, it's the government of India at Ghaziabad. And as on today, even local pharmacies, there are who are there for testing our raw material. Then we independently also, we are able to get our processes tested. See, the process of potentization, titration and potentization, that is dilution, making of dilutions.
Right.
They start from a mother tincture or from a raw material.
Yes.
So from that particular material, when I'm raising it, we do the assay like for form, because I mostly make biochemic tissue salt. So we take the assay of the crude, then go in for the first potency and then see that it is 1/10 of it.
Right.
And so once we standardize our process, so when our process is standardized, then even if I go from 1 to 2 or 20 to 30, the process remains the same.
Right.
So
right,
it does work up.
Right. Sir,
and as on today, say, though we were the last to implement GMP, the good manufacturing practice.
Right.
Now, as it is, like you have this ISO and ISM mark,
yes,
you can make sure that your pharmacy supplier, he's a GMP certified.
Right, right, right. Sir, so this also applies to the procuring of ingredients, as in, for example, we also prepare drugs with uranium nitricum. Right, which is very, very difficult to procure, because very few labs, international scientific labs in the world, struggle to procure it. But is it the same with the pharmacy, or do they have their own sources?
No, it's difficult. It's not. Your question is genuine.
Right.
You'll be surprised, when I started my when I joined the pharmacy first time, I being a botany student. The first drug which I found wrong was calendula.
Right. Right.
See, calendula was the first drug which I I found that at that time, during Deepavali and Dasara, we use that Gandeka phool.
Right. Yes. Dandelion.
Mostly you will see that yellow color flower.
Yes.
All over the city. And that was being used. That is, it is also from composite family, but it is known as Zeruzil.
Right. Right.
Most of the pharmacies, they are using calendula. That particular flower has calendula.
Right.
Whereas calendula, it is only available mostly from Karnataka. From Bangalore, I picked up the first one. It is available only from the month of January to March, April.
Right. Right.
It's a creeper, and in one plant, it is only one flower which comes.
All right.
So, as far as genuinity of that is concerned, so we have to be very, very, if once a raw material is wrong, everything goes wrong.
Right, right.
So it's very important. So we have to be very, very cautious in it.
So with all the standardizations,
Even uridine, I think what you asked.
Yes, yes.
Yes, you are right there. Even suppose you take lecithin.
Yes.
Lecithin, you will find it is available in the market at 500 rupees a pound crude. But that is a lecithin from soybean.
Okay.
What you need is from the egg.
Egg, yes.
And that cost is about almost 8,000 to 9,000, 10 grams.
All right.
And that is available from London if you want to get it directly as on today.
Right. Sir, it might sound very strange coming from a practitioner, but most of the dilutions, especially if they are above the 200th or above the 30th for that matter, you say the procurement of that drug is a very arduous and not a very economical process. But most of the dilutions...
How did we arrive at 30 and 200 or Banya medicines, which are at present being sold? So we should have got it from somewhere, the back potencies, no?
Yes, yes. No, my question is, the 30 and the 200 and the 1M or above those potencies, the dilutions are priced usually among equal terms, as in a dilution of one remedy is almost the same as another remedy, but the price variations occur in the mother tinctures. Why is this so?
Mother tincture is comparatively costly one compared to that. But dilutions, say 1M or 3200 are the same, almost the same price.
Right.
1M is a higher price, 10M is a more higher price.
Right.
It is because we have to store that back potencies.
Right.
And it is also as far the demand is concerned. Because if you want to go in for 50M or CM, see, there are very less people who are using it. Suppose even now, there are some medicines which are not in the market.
Yes.
Even dilution, say, for example, Bowel Nosod Bestless number 7, it is not available in 30 potency.
Yes.
They are now selling it at 35 potency.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So there we are missing. We are, as it is, our stock of back potencies is going down.
Right. Right.
And recently, some year or 2 years back, there was a company from Belgium who planned up to have a remedy bank.
Right.
Wherein the medicine what he prepares and sells it, the maximum package is only 5 ml. So he wanted that to be prepared and to again raise potencies.
Right.
And he had made a machine which probably roughly costed almost about 30 lakhs.
Right.
For potency. It is a remedy bank from Belgium. But for some reasons, he did not continue with that. But as it is, this that need is there.
Yes,
we have now with this, say almost 200 years of our existence.
Right.
So the back potencies are going off.
Right.
And at present, most of our pharmacies they are relying on companies which are making single remedies.
Yes.
Now for the dilution, it is mostly from HAPCO.
Right.
Biochemic tissue source, even I am supplying back potencies.
Right.
Even the many other ways, this is a major role which a classical homeopath or a pharmaceutical company who are making classical medicine can play.
Right.
The future for them is this is the place where there's a future lies.
The procurement of the medicines themselves.
Procure and the back potencies.
Back potencies.
That's the need of the hour, in fact.
Right. Right. Sir, speaking of the processes that you just told about, can you enlighten a few of our viewers as to what the process of preparing medicines actually is? A few terms like potentization, succession, and then trituration, what these terms actually mean from a pharmacist's perspective?
See, I'll start with trituration.
Right.
Trituration is a process wherein we use material like chemicals like sodium salt, your common salt, what we eat in the house,
mm-hmm.
natrum wood, calcium salts, potassium salts.
Right.
So, and that is mixed up in the ratio of 1:9.
One part is crude. Right.
And 9 parts is a lactose.
Lactose, right.
Okay. Lactose is a base which is neutral.
Neutral, right.
So that's the reason that why we use lactose.
Hmm.
And there was a time when lactose was, even today it is being imported, but in India also they have started making now.
Okay.
So this particular trituration is mixed up and put in a porcelain crucible in the ratio of 1:9.
Right.
And it is, two things are done in the process, mixing and grinding.
Hmm, hmm, hmm.
And that process is for 1 hour.
Hmm.
In 1 hour, the potency from crude, it becomes 1x. So if you take 1x as the base, it becomes 2x after 1 hour. Hmm. And that was being done earlier with machines, by hand.
Right. Hmm.
And now we have come up with the machines.
Hmm.
And this is the process where anyone can test.
Hmm.
This the ratio of potency can be checked up by a very simple test, which is known as a chemical assay.
Hmm.
If I assay of chemical, suppose it is 2.5, the assay of 1x will be 0.25. Assay of 2x will be 0.025.
Right.
Point, 3x it will be 0.0025. This can be, the readings can be, anyone with a simple lab, he can get that tested.
Right, right.
So that shows that this is potency is rising. But again here, that process of titration, that suppose you see, if you go to 10 pharmacies, this 10 pharmacies, they are not standardized.
Right.
There are now some people, they have started using stainless steel vessels.
True.
Because these porcelain motors, they are not available, you can't make more than 3 kg. In 1 hour, you can't make more than 3 kg. That's the maximum which was available.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there are people now who have started with 5 kg and 12 kg also they're getting. But the people who are there in the marketing and for improving their sales, I've seen that some of them are using stainless steel, which I personally feel may not be correct.
True.
So that is, as far as the trituration is concerned, that is one process where a powder is mixed up. And dilution is from mother tinctures, you raise it in the ratio of 1:99.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one part of the dilution plus 99 parts of alcohol, and you give 10 suctions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now this again, in this there are different potencies.
Mm.
One is centesimal, 1:9, and decimal scale. I told you 1:99. There's another potency which probably in next few years, in not more than 2 to 3 years, it will be there in the market. Mm. Is 50 millismal, which is 1:50,000.
Right.
So this is what we are expecting. But for all my younger friends, younger homeopaths, this is the place where I want that they should concentrate to see that this particular process is standardized.
True.
So we need a standardization in this particular process.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then we have even something like, suppose what you call patents. Patents are nothing like the way allopaths are making, we are making it. It's the same way ointments are there. And then we have some blank tablets, like biscuits made of sugar and blank tablets made of lactose.
Right, right.
They're mostly used by doctors to please the patient. So when they don't want to give medicine, they give this.
True.
But that is also used by some other pharmacies who add some medicine to that and they make their own
patents. Right, right. Sir, when you started out in the pharmacy, what were some of the difficulties that you faced and some of the basic requirements that were essential for the setting up of a pharmacy?
See, I was a little lucky in the sense that when I completed my DHMS, I had 2 to 3 avenues what I should do after my completion of course. One was to start my own practice. My father had his own business. I could have gone in with him as a part-time work.
Right.
But I had a good opportunity that the promoter of our college, Dr. Jaisuriya Homeopathic Medical College, Dr. N. Krishna Rao, and my principal, late Dr. Shiv Shankar, Dr. Krishna Rao was looking for a homeopath for his pharmacy, Ramakrishna Pharmaceutical.
Okay.
And they asked me, what is your the plans next for the after completion? So I told them. Then they told, okay, are you interested in the government job? Well, no, I am not interested. I just want to be in Hyderabad only. I can't go into other districts. So Dr. Krishna offered me a place to join the pharmacy. So I was there with them for 7 to 8 years. And I saw the preparations and all that. And then one fine day, at that time, Ramakrishna was one of the leading manufacturers.
Right.
In the sense they were taking, especially for biochemists, they were taking about 4 to 5 months to supply an order. And then we had machines which were of that old type, single stroke machine. So once what happened, because of the demand, I was asked to venture in for what better way we can manufacture.
Right.
So I had a chance of going around to Bombay, Calcutta, other places. And there I found a machine. Then I had, I was lucky to have visited IDPL. See, right. which as on today is closed. The Indian Drug Pharmaceutical Company by Government of India. I saw the machines or the way they are making. Then I had another chance of this Himalayan pharmaceutical company is there, Ayurveda company. I had a patient of mine, Dr. Sanjeev Rao. So as a patient, I asked him, so what are you doing, sir? He says, I am making Lif 52, he said.
Right.
And one product. So, well, yes.
Just one product.
Because of that, I went to his unit. I saw he was making only Lif 52.
Okay.
Then I found another person who was making only Crocin tablets.
Okay.
There was another person making only Digin tablets. So the good thing in that, what I observed is that they were making it with the best infrastructure.
Right.
Best machines. So it came in my mind that if I get a chance, then let me prepare biochemic or R medicine in that way. So because of that, when I was asked to go to Bombay and Calcutta, in Calcutta I formed a particular company by known name as Hindustan. They showed me a machine which could, which was able, we were able to see that it will meet our demand.
Right.
So I came and suggested. So my Dr. Krishna, their dole is very costly. At that time, even 50,000 was supposed to be very high cost. It was in 1980s.
Right.
Then they told me, Vashish, if you take up that machine, we'll give you the work.
Okay.
So then I told you, this is what I was feeling like, that I should do it. So that this is the best way of making biochemic tissue salt. So I picked up that machine from them. And that support gave me a chance to invest in all the latest machines.
Right.
See, even a dryer, at that time we were using tray dryers.
Right.
And the best available at that time was a fluid bed dryer. But the capacity of the fluid bed dryer was minimum was 100 kg.
Right.
Whereas our batches were hardly 20 kg or 50 kg.
Right.
So then I asked the person who supplied me the machine, can you make this machine in this size? And I was fortunate that he agreed to that.
Right.
So because of that, I was able to meet the demand of Ramakrishna of making almost 2,000 to 3,000 kg per month, which mm-hmm. they used to take. They used to have. They had the capacity of only 800 kg at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me come up with the total infrastructure.
Mm.
And after a few years, when my son came into the, he joined me in the business. He wanted to have his own product.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had only thing is as a practicing physician, I thought we'll just go in only with single remedies.
Right.
Hmm. So for years together, I just made only single biochemic tissue salt, then started with homeo tablet, then started with, we had introduced two products like 1X tablet.
Mm-hmm.
The mother tinctures which are available only in liquid form, I am the first person to make it in tablet form.
Right, right.
And my criteria is that usually homeopathic medicine are known as sweet and white.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now in this, suppose I make Rolfia, one tablet, you have to take it with half a glass of water.
Right, like an allopathic tablet.
It's like allopathic tablet, but mm-hmm. that particular thing, what people had in their mind.
It took a new form of just taking the medicine. Right, right.
Then we have introduced externals also.
Mm-hmm.
External ointments in potentized forms. Biochemical potencies I have used.
Right.
Calcarea,
right.
Flor, ferrum fos, silicea, in potentized.
Mm-hmm.
So in that I'm able to have that range of single remedies, and my plan is only on that track. So
right.
In course of time I may go in for dilutions also, but at present whatever is there in tablet or powder form, I am at it.
Right, right. Sir, since you spoke about administering the medicines, would you throw some light upon the modes of application of homeopathic medicines from a pharmacist's perspective, and also regarding the dosage in the same query?
Dosage?
Like,
as for the dosage is concerned, what is that we feel that a proper dose should be given to a patient?
Yes.
If it is less, it will not be effective. If it is more, it may produce side effects.
Yes, yes.
That is the criteria we have. But in homeopathy, it is the potency which plays.
Yes.
It's the quality of the medicine which plays the role of dosage.
Right.
So it is the potency. If it is the potency is high, it may produce some effect. If it is low, it may not produce. But it depends on the potency.
Right.
So as far as we are concerned, as far as the dosage is concerned, the quality, the quantity does not matter. It is the quality of the product which matters.
Right. So one dose does not equals 4 pills or 5 pills or just one single pill. It doesn't equal that.
See, that's the first prescription you do it with a single dose.
Right.
Then you have a whole lot of guidance under second prescription from in the organon.
Right.
See, what you can do, you can repeat it, you can change it, you can increase the potency. So that is there in the second prescription. And see, we should be proud that it is only in homeopathy these guidelines are being given. You don't have an organon of medicine in any other system of medicine.
Right.
Where Dr. Hanuman, he has given a clear underline what should be the mission of the doctor, how the cure should be there, and what should be the knowledge. In the third aphorism, he gives you should have a knowledge of disease, knowledge of medicine. And then he has given you more than 200 aphorisms to guide you how you can do it.
Right, right, right.
So if you just plan up and practice practical organon, you will never face a problem.
Right. Sir, but my query is upon, for example, a doctor will write a prescription and send it to the pharmacy saying Naxomica 200, one dose. And he does not mention the pill size or the amount of sac-lac powder that has to be administered. What is considered usually, what is the standard one dose in regards to pill size and in terms of the quantity of the powder that is put, sac-lac powder?
See, no, it can be, I can put it the other way around.
Right.
See, we have to see that the medicine when we administer, it is in a gentle way.
True. Huh.
So if it's a child, if it is a small child, even if I give 5 globules, they won't be able to swallow it.
Right. Right.
For that, we have made that it can be made in 5 number or 10 number size.
Right.
You can give it in powder form. So we have different sizes of globules. So
right.
To the need. But different. As far as the number of pills right. are concerned, what Dr. Hanuman wanted is, as far as the single remedies are concerned, he wanted that medicine should be dispensed by the doctor.
Right.
But yes, but tomorrow if you want, now the pharmaceutical companies, they are coming back. They are trying to come to this particular need. Tomorrow if there's a demand, we want the single doses. Pharmacies are ready. And right. they have to be ready. Now during pandemic of this the COVID-19,
right.
there was a need.
True. Baba,
these people are distributing arsenic, alpha, everyone is selling it, everyone is distributing it. So when we wanted to standardize, we have come up with another that, and that was that has already it was there implemented also.
Right.
In drop forms, arsenic album was made in par with polio drops.
Right.
Where you had a 10 ml bottle where you can put 2 drops. Then they had developed some pharmacies that developed sachets where only one single dose is there.
Right.
They
right.
have put it in a carton like in allopathic strip packing. You can just remove it and take one dose.
Right.
But as far as the pills are concerned, as I told you, it again depends, but minimum what I use is 5. But now there are different sizes. There are some are corporate home, but they are going in with 60 number globules, where they want only one globule to be prescribed.
Just a single globule, right.
Yeah. But we have, that is again the specialty of homeopath. Homeopathic system that you have different ways of administering the medicines
right.
to the need. Even sure. suppose a child of 1 day. Now how will you administer it? A 1-year-old child. One day old child.
Right.
I have seen when I was blessed with my grandchildren.
Right.
I was there. How should I put it? Then it's there in the organ. You give it to the mother. From mother milk, the medicine goes. The effect of the medicine goes to the child.
Yes, yes. Sir, which brings
me
to my.
It works.
Right. Which brings me to my next question. What are the modes of application of homeopathic medicine? What are some of the modes of application of homeopathic medicine? Through which
modes?
Right. Methods of application through which homeopathic medicines can be applied or administered.
See, as it is, again, that is very clearly mentioned in the organelle.
Right.
It is oral. It can be applied externally.
Right.
When I say that externally, probably classical homeopaths may not agree. But again, it is there mentioned in organelle that when a patient, you are not able to feed it, you
right.
can apply it externally, you can inhale it.
Yes.
And this I have tried in many cases. Inhaling I have tried, I have applied it externally.
Right.
And in case you will be surprised if I give you this particular small clue. See, in case of acute fever, what is it we do after giving medicine? If the medicine fever does not come down. We apply cold bandage.
Yes.
Cold application.
Right.
Why do we apply cold? That is because the temperature, boiling temperature of water is 100 degrees.
Yes.
So when you go on applying it, that 102, 103 fever will come down to nearer to 100.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Now here, I just suggest you, whatever remedy you have selected, suppose you have selected Belladonna. Right? You give it Belladonna external, internal one. If the fever is 103, 104, apply it onto the palms and soles.
Right.
You see the result.
Right. Wonderful.
You see the result. It will be in minutes. In seconds, the temperature comes down. See, there are two reasons again in that. Even if your remedy is wrong, alcohol boiling point is 62 degrees.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
yes.
The only thing caution you take is not to apply on the forehead. Apply it on palm and soles.
Right.
Even pain, acute pain. Any of your medicines, whatever the indicated medicine, you apply it externally. Even suppose in case of this diabetic ulcers, suppose you are given an indicated remedy, you need something for dressing. Right?
Yes.
Same
right.
medicine, important is from your flight.
Right.
So you
right.
usually clean it with alcohol. Don't clean it with alcohol.
Clean it with the
Clean remedy. It with this. And you get the results.
Right, right. That's a very innovative way of looking at it, sir. I never thought of this. Right. Sir, in regard to the mother tinctures aspect of medicines, Hanuman has mentioned a few classes of preparing these mother tinctures. But are they being applied in real life? Are they being followed? Or is it each, as you mentioned, standardization according to each company and their availability?
It is being followed.
It is being followed.
Right. See, the classes which Hanuman has mentioned is depending on the formulation. It is 1:10 or 1:100.
Yes.
Whether that is one part and nine parts or one part, 99 parts.
Yes.
That is one. But there are two major ways of making mother tincture. That is, one is maceration.
Right.
Wherein we use fresh raw material. Suppose fresh flowers, fresh leaves. You use it in that maceration process. And that process, you have to have say there's a formula for each medicine. Quantity of alcohol to be added, quantity of water to be added, distilled water. And that magma has to be kept for almost 21 days, and every day it should be shaken.
Right.
The second process, which is very effective and very fast, is percolation.
Right, right.
So percolation is where you are using dry material. Suppose some material we don't get it usually, so we like all bark and roots. So that we take it make it into powder. And then put it on the percolator. It is a funnel shape structure. And in fact, if you're interested, I can send you that photograph.
Sure.
In that, again, the same formula is added to that. And in this, what happens, immediately there will be an extract coming out.
Right, right.
And the best part is that once the extract coming out becomes lighter in color, it means that you have the complete process, extract has been taken out.
Right. Right.
So, in that water, and this you can do it within 6 to 7 days.
Right.
And in fact, if even this percolator, in fact, also needs standardization, as it is, I can put it. Because there's a lot you can do it in this. Wherein you can just every that monitor, I just put the drip is in, what we give it, glucose drip in the hospitals. I fix that into the tube. Because I don't supply mother tincture, but I make it for 1x tablets.
Right, right.
And just collect it drop wise.
Okay.
And this part, these two things again, they can play a part for us research, and there's a lot can be done in that.
Right, right. Sir, coming to the final aspect of this conversation, one of the questions that I had was about the availability of indigenous drugs and locally grown drugs, because as you said, calendula is something very native to Karnataka and Bangalore, and in terms of this, and as you also said, our source of collection of the medicines is very expansive. New drugs are being incorporated into our materia medica every day, on a daily basis almost, because some of the drugs are being taken from Ayurvedic formulations. For example, the mother tincture Arjuna and Ashwagandha, all of these are being taken from old, ancient Ayurvedic formulations. So what is your view on this, and is this the way forward, moving ahead in the Indian, especially in the Indian pharmacopoeia, and how viable is this? Collection of
This is most viable thing,
right?
And the best way, as you have suggested, it is to take the help of Ayurveda.
Right, right.
See, Ayurveda, I can just say that even for formulations, Ayurveda, they have the knowledge. Say in the morning you have these channels of Patanjali or Sanskar coming, where you find Balkishanji speaking on homeopathic, there's Ayurvedic drugs.
Right.
See, what they have the knowledge is, they have the knowledge of the crude Tulsi herb.
Right, right, right.
And if you hear him, say, you'll be surprised that only one herb is enough for all ailments, mostly.
True.
Right?
Right, right.
Then that information is not there with us.
True.
As on today, we don't have any standardized textbook of mother tinctures.
True.
information, if we take it up from Ayurveda, incorporate into our form of into our knowledge, you'll have the basic, say, therapeutic value, therapeutic knowledge of the crude drug. See, Arjuna, as you say, for the heart tonic, we got it only from Ayurveda.
Right. Yes.
But we don't know that is it good for high blood pressure or low blood pressure. Creatinine, is it low for high?
True. True.
See, this information is not there.
Yes, the provings are not there.
Provings that way is not there.
Right.
So, as you suggest, I definitely agree with your particular views. We, as on today, to standardize our mother tincture, we should take their help. And Ayush department, as it is in that Ayurveda, is there. And now probably there's the possibility of this also being taken into consideration.
Right.
And say in the future, it has a big role to play. And when you hear our people speaking on the quality assurance, they'll again go in for import items. With this particular medicine is not available in India, I'm getting it from foreign countries. And they add to that cost also.
Right.
But as it is, personally, I don't feel that if something is not available, or the baptisia is not available, crude, they say. So don't be bothered about that. You have some substitute, you want to have it, otherwise forget about it. But there's a lot in India.
True. Our local drugs are much...
One thing is you get a genuine.
True.
Seeing it with eyes.
Yes.
If I get it from importer, they'll give me in a powder form.
Yes.
And they only label it, only the label will speak about the herb.
True.
So as it is, I take it from you now. That Ayurveda, we have to take that.
Yes. Sir, regarding the genuinity of medicines, I remember you had told about an anecdote where you had been to a seminar and relating to a pendrive. If you could reshine the same to our listeners, it would be a wonderful experience for them, I suppose.
Yeah, friends. In fact, I had some 4 or 5 years back, probably everyone might have heard that there was an article in Lancet which stated that homeopathic is no medicine, it is only placebo.
Right.
And it had come to the extent that the British government, there's a Royal Homeopathic College in London, wherein they also came and stated they wanted to de-recognize homeopathy.
Right.
That the homeopathic is nothing but placebo.
Right.
So in one seminar in Nagpur, I had a chance of, for the first time, I had a chance of presenting a say PowerPoint presentation.
Right.
So in my anxiety, I just took that presentation in a CD. I just recorded in it. Then to be on a safer side, I had put a pen drive. Then took a written note also. And when I was there at Nagpur, sitting in the session, the speaker before me was speaking about all this, what Lancet was saying. And everyone saying, homeopathic is placebo, homeopathic is placebo.
Right.
Then I just, to be safer side, I just took my CD and gave it to the technician. Baba, you check it up. Yeah, you know, next, my presentation is it. Is it all right? So he put it in his computer and said, no, sir, it is blank. Right. Yeah, I recorded it. He says, no, sir, it is blank. Then I gave my pen drive. For that, again, he said, then we had some senior doctors, Dr. Adil Chintanwala,
right.
Dr. Tanvir, others. I just took their laptop, checked it up. Second computer, again, they said, sir, it is blank. So I was getting nervous. Then in the meantime, someone told her, Dr. Saab ke paas naya laptop hai, ab jara check karo. When I put it there, he put it, CSC is working, he said. And then it also was giving me a feeling that I am a manufacturer and these people are saying that homeopathic or placebo, that means, is it that in the factory I am not making anything, I am not adding anything?
True.
Then when I went on to the dais, I asked the technician, the same person, Baba, I gave you the CD, how do you feel? What was your observation? Sir, it is blank. Man, are you sure? Yes, sir, he said. Second doctor, yes, sir, he said. Then I asked the third doctor, no, it is there. So that means we are making it. Only thing is we don't have an instrument to check it.
Right. True.
Then I told Baba, for this question that homeopathic is placebo, please come to my pharmaceutical company or visit any homeopathic pharmacy. See the process of potentization.
Right.
In that we take a fruit. Suppose you want that by you want to take arsenic salt. It is a deadly poison. You can test it. Is it poison or not?
Right. Right.
After that, I'll potentize it. That is my specialty. My process of potentization is a specialty of the homeopath.
Right.
I use 1:9 ratio or I use 1:99. No one should question that.
Right.
Why I am adding 199? So I just told I'll prepare the first potency. I'll add crude, one part, 99 parts of lactose, one hour running, then second, then third and fourth, fifth and sixth. So even after when I prepare 30, the only thing you prove is that I have not added.
Right, right.
Don't say that in 30 it is not available. You say that while preparing I have not added, you just prove.
Right.
And that particular aspect was taken up even by the British government. They sent out some doctors to Wilmer's Corbett. And they inspected that and then they stopped telling that it is that homeopathic is placebo. And to everyone's surprise, is within a year we had a note from WHO. See, when they're using poisons, so what are the safety measures they are following?
Right, right.
So I told, at least now you are agreeing that it is not placebo.
Complete.
When you're asking that, what are the safety measures, that means it's not placebo.
Right, right.
So that way this particular thing was back restored. No one questions that homeopathic is placebo.
True, true. Wonderful, sir. That was a wonderful anecdote. And I just remember that because it is more etched, saying that we do not have the technology to rather monitor what is in the dilution rather than saying the material itself is not present. And
I know something has been worked up with nanotechnology. And in Bombay recently they have checked up tested 30 potency and they have just come up with a answer that yes, in 30 potency that medicine is available.
Right, right.
So that question is off now.
Yes, yes. Wonderful, sir. I think we have covered almost all of the aspects that we wanted to discuss with you. And so we thank you very much for giving us your valuable time. And
thank you. It's my pleasure.
It was very informative, and I think you have given many new avenues for young homeopaths to either conduct research in or look into.
See, we have a lot of scopes in research, and if I'm not wrong, but I'm not very, I'm not having that way, but there are some now courses being started for BHM student on research part.
Right.
In Chennai, and if not, if it is in Bangalore, I don't know, but it is here in South only. They are starting a specialized courses, and wherein the doctors they can join. And in fact, in homeopathy, there's a lot to be done.
True.
Even in the pharmaceuticals, it's a lot to be in the situation. And our people, when they talk about potency, they just laugh among themselves only. And any potency, I like the shake. But that process, they are known as understood it.
True.
Even today, if I say that situation, I want to run less than 1 hour, we don't know what happens after 1 hour. But it happens only after 1 hour.
True. Yes.
So that strokes, what we give 10 strokes, if you give 5 strokes, and we are not standardized the pressure by what the standard should be given. But when you are giving the 10 strokes, definitely there is a change.
Yes.
So something happens there, but that is what it has to be. It's a research part. And in fact, even the other day, Dr. Balkishan was telling, our purpose is only to make genuine medicine. And the result is given by the patient. In between, what happens, how that medicine has worked, why this medicine has worked, it is not my answer that you go on breaking your head to know that. Till the patient is becoming all right, I'm happy.
I'm happy. Yes, sir.
But that is the thing which youngsters, I definitely love that they should take up this.
Yes.
And as far as classical homeopaths are concerned, till you give one single dose and see the result, you'll never believe it. But once you see it, and never you'll fail again.
True. That was wonderful. And thank you for that much informative session, sir. We would like to
thank you, coordinate. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.